the Chancellor of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones III.
Paul said, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. The word fear there can be translated cowardice. God has not given us the spirit of cowardice. Proverbs 28 says, the wicked or the guilty flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold. What does that mean? Secure, confident, bold, the scripture says, as a lion.
Today, Dr. Bob Jones III continues his message he began last week on the topic of developing moral courage and encourages us to obey God, even when we're confronted with personal intimidation. If you have a Bible at hand, we invite you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. As the Chancellor of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones III, brings part 2 of this message.
Please open your Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy 1:7. We're going to meet Mr. Coward Ice again. You say, do we really have to? I met him last week. Well, he comes to us in many forms, and we're going to meet him in a new form this morning. We met him in the form of moral passivity. Pilate is an example of that. He knew what was right to do, but he was faced with the possibility of being debilitated in his career path, being recalled to Rome, being dealt with by his superiors. And so he washed his hands of his responsibility to do right. 2 Peter tells us that we are to add to our faith virtue or moral courage, moral excellence, moral courage. 2 Peter 1:5. It's the very first thing to add to our faith in our growth in Christ. Wonder if all of us have added that yet to our faith. The determination we're going to do right. Moral excellence. I want you to meet Mr. Coward Ice this morning as he comes in the form of intimidation. Passivity, we talked about. Intimidation today. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be saved. The fear of man brings a snare. Elijah was intimidated by Jezebel, and he became a coward. We read about that in 1 Kings 19, after the great contest with the priests of Baal, where the Lord poured out the fire from heaven, consumed the sacrifice. The fire lapped up the water. The priests of Baal, 400 of them, were slain. God Jehovah was shown to be the God of Israel. And Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab, Jezebel, the queen, a worshiper of Baal, was infuriated, and she sent her servant to tell Elijah, you will be a dead man in 24 hours. And he ran. He could stand up to the priests of Baal. He could do all kinds of things when it was called for. But he ran from a furious woman who threatened his life. He was intimidated by her threats. You remember when Nehemiah was building the wall, Sanballat, Geshem, Tobiah, these enemies of the work of God in the building of the wall kept coming to him and saying, this is a little tiny wall, this is a stupid little insignificant effort, a little fox could tear your wall down if it wanted to. Who do you think you are? We're going to see to it that you don't succeed. I don't have time to read all the text today, but you can find it in Nehemiah 6, the first 13 verses, and other places. Strong words of intimidation that a weak man would have feared from. But he knew he had a call from God. He knew he had the divine arm of omnipotence behind him. And he recognized where these threats were from. They were not from God. They were from the enemies of God. He put his trust in the Lord. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Nehemiah did that. Elijah didn't do that. In Isaiah 36, verses 13 to 20, Rabshakeh, the spokesman for Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and threatened the people of God and said, "Your God Jehovah won't save you any more than the gods," and they named other gods of other peoples, "have saved them. Our armies have made mincemeat out of all of these other people, and now we've come to your gates, and the same thing is going to happen to you. And if your king Hezekiah tries to make you think that your God is going to do for you what these other gods didn't do for them, you shouldn't listen to him. He's deceiving you, because we're going to destroy you too." Strong words in the language of the people, intimidating them, creating fear in their heart. Fear is a great weapon of the devil. 2 Timothy, the first chapter, the 7th verse says, it's our text for this whole series, "God has not given us the spirit of cowardice, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." How do you recognize intimidation? How do you recognize Mr. Coward Ice when he comes to you in the form of intimidation? There's several phrases. There are many, but there's some pretty common ones. Suppose you're dating somebody, and that person says, "If you really loved me, you would engage in sex before marriage. You would do whatever. You would meet me in some illegal fashion. You would, if you loved me, you would." They're words of intimidation. The words of Mr. Coward Ice to try to intimidate you. Another key phrase of intimidation is, if you don't, you fill in the blank, if you don't do so and so, whatever the intimidator wants you to do, if you don't, I will tell. Words to make a coward out of you. Or how about this phrase, "I will see to it that you live to regret it. If you do so and so, I will see to it that you live to regret it." By the way, that phrase is often spoken to victims of incest by the predator, the brother, the father, the uncle, whoever he may be, to threaten, to use intimidation toward the victim, to say, "I'll smear your reputation if you tell. They won't believe you, but they will believe me. I'll destroy you if you tell." I had a call a couple of weeks ago. She talked probably 45 minutes. The story was about her ex-husband. I don't know this woman. I've never met her. Don't know why she called me, really. They've been divorced for some time. But here's a little bit of the story she shared with me, and I share it with you because I don't want you to end up in this kind of marriage. The boy flunked out of college because he just didn't care. She said he was manipulating, he was deceptive, he was controlling, he had a violent temper. Girls, if your boyfriend shows those characteristics, drop him today. You can't do it soon enough. And marrying him will not reform him. It will only get worse, as she found out. When she became pregnant with their fifth child, he tried to coerce her into having an abortion. She said he had many extramarital affairs, though he professed to be saved. So bad did the relationship between him and his father get that the family filed a $32 million lawsuit against this boy who was involved in the family business. And the father got so infuriated with this boy, he set out one day to try to kill him, and he was stopped. She said he was the greatest intimidator you could have ever imagined. His father used intimidation against school authorities, with school authorities. And the boy grew up believing that intimidation was the way to get what you wanted. Just intimidate everybody, and like a bulldozer, you just go right through life. And she said, he was involved in incestuous relationships with our daughter. And he threatened me to say, if you tell anybody about this, nobody will believe you. They will believe me. You're just a woman. You're just a housewife, he told her. I'm an important businessman that everybody looks up to. They won't believe you. Wouldn't you just love to take a guy like that out behind the barn and beat the living tar out of him? Wouldn't you just like to beat him to a bloody pulp? It'd be too good for him. He's a dirty, rotten scoundrel. You know, whether it's a husband, whether it's a kind of a brutal boss at work, sometimes authority figures often use intimidation with others, and sometimes they're in Christian work, people who do that. I was talking to a fine young man. I'd known him for some years. And he went to be on the faculty of another Christian college, a very weak evangelical Christian college. And he taught there. And he taught in the music department there. And he came to me one day and he hung his head. We were somewhere in ministry together in a common place. And he said, I just have to tell you, I'm a coward. He said, I've changed my music standards. He said, the president of the college called me in and said, if you don't change your music standard, you can't teach here anymore, because the churches that send their students to our college want CCM music. It's what they use in their churches. It's what they want here in the college. And we have to give them what they want. The president was a coward. And he was an intimidator. He said to this young faculty member, either you change your standards and teach what we want to teach, or you're out of here. And the boy said, I abandoned my higher standards. I gave in. I remember hearing my grandfather when I was a student, when I was your age. I used to hear him talk about this in chapel, preacher boys. I used to hear him talk about it in person. The Southern Baptist Convention at that time was radically changing into becoming the weak thing that it is today. But it was just beginning. And a lot of people from Southern Baptist churches were coming here to study to preach. And my grandfather was trying to point up to them the drift that was beginning in the convention. And it made the convention pastors and authorities mad when they heard what was happening. And so when the young men from those churches wanted to come here to preach, the pastors would often say to them, if you go to that place to learn to preach, we'll see to it that when you come back into the convention, you don't have a church to preach in. They were authority figures using intimidation against young people to keep them from doing right. And my grandfather used to say, with all the vehemence that he could muster, he put his hand up against his face and he'd rear back in the pulpit and say, if God Almighty is not big enough to give you a place to preach, you don't want to serve a God like that in the first place. Well, he got our attention. And he was right. These young men were being intimidated by compromisers. Nikita Khrushchev, former president of the Soviet Union, was making a public speech in Russia denouncing Stalin's murderous atrocities. The figures that the Russian people have told me, who went through some of that era, that at least 150 million people, though the official figures are like 40 million, they said at least 150 million people were purged, were killed during the Stalinist terror reign. And Khrushchev was denouncing it one day when he was present as a public speech. And a heckler yelled out and said, You were one of his colleagues. Why didn't you stop him? And Khrushchev roared, "Who said that?" There was silence. And he said, "Now you know why." He was intimidated, just like he intimidated his crowd at that moment. You know, folks, self-preservation is the most natural instinct that God has put in any of us. But self-preservation at the expense of doing right is cowardice. It is cowardice. Better to lose a good job, better to lose a good anything than to lose your conscience, a good conscience. You remember when Joseph was the servant in Potiphar's household in Egypt where his brothers had sold him into slavery? One day Potiphar's wife made repeated demands upon him for sexual favors. He was a godly man. He refused to have anything to do with her. And one day he had to flee from her presence. And in the process of fleeing, she snatched his coat off of him and then used it with her husband to say, "You know, Joseph tried to force me and I resisted and he ran and ended up with his coat in my hand," and all of that stuff. He got put in jail for doing right. Doing right doesn't mean you're always going to be treated right. It often means you'll be treated wrong. It often means you're going to lose a lot of things. Joseph lost his freedom for doing right. He went to jail. It's honorable to go to jail for doing right. It's dishonorable to stay out of jail for doing wrong. Listen to these words from Joshua 1:7. "Only be thou strong," God said to Joshua. "Very courageous." He meant be determined, be obstinate, "that thou mayest observe to do all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper in whithersoever thou goest." Again, in Joshua 23:6, "Be therefore very courageous." He said, display strength to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, as you turn not therefrom to the right hand or to the left. Be very courageous. Hezekiah said the same thing as recorded in 2 Chronicles 32:7. Be strong and courageous. He said, be brave. Don't be terrified. Don't be dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. You know, it's one of the most intimidating factors of all when Mr. Coward Ice comes to us. You know when he's most intimidating? When it's just you against a mob of people. When you're the only voice that is standing up for what is right. The greatest temptation in the world for any of us, especially in church situations, in Christian school situations, is to go along with a bunch of people who aren't doing right. And either by being passive, just by not saying anything, or by being intimidated through a threat. You know, if you don't go along, then you better leave. You can't be a part of this. Well, take your stand for what is right and then leave. If you can't change what is wrong, then leave. It's honorable to leave rather than stay and do something that is wrong. Proverbs 28 says, "The wicked," or the guilty, "flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold." What does that mean? Secure, confident, bold, the Scripture says, as a lion. Who intimidates the lion? He intimidates everybody else. I remember one time at a game preserve in South Africa, around a water hole, we saw a most remarkable thing taking place. We were standing up on a hill. There was a little valley, and down here was a water hole and another hill going up behind it. And here were four lions, one male lion and three lionesses. And they were prowling down toward the water hole. There were a bunch of gazelles down along the water hole. And there was a giraffe. He was a funny creature. He was standing up here on his hill all by himself. And he was stiff-legged, just like this, not moving, terrified by what he was watching. The same thing we were watching. And these lions did a pincer move, an encircling move like this, to try to get to those gazelles. and the gazelles were frozen. They couldn't see because of the brush between them like we could see looking down on it, but they knew they were in danger. And this pincer movement came and came and came. And once the lions then just decided it was time to charge, they charged. And these gazelles ran parallel to where these lions, and they came across a little land bridge and went off over here. They were faster, and the lions, by the time they got there, were tired. And they just sat down by the water hole with their tongues hanging out. Everything around in the animal kingdom that day was terrified by the boldness of the lions. The Bible says the righteous are as secure and confident as a lion, but the guilty flee when no man pursues. Young people, if you live right, if you try to keep a clear conscience before God, then intimidation's not going to bother you, because let them tell what they want to tell. There's nothing they can tell. You've been decent. You've been clean. You've been right. You've been truthful. You've been honorable. It is only people like that in the household of faith, in the church of Jesus Christ, that can do right and stand up. If somebody's got something on you, you can't be bold as a lion. You will keep your mouth shut out of intimidation. In closing, you're going to face some real life situations, some of you seniors, real soon. What are you going to do? Will you be intimidated by a boss who says to you, you'll lose your job if you don't take these clients to an adult bookstore? You'll lose your job if you don't take these clients to a casino? You'll lose your job if you don't take them to the bar? What are you going to do? Well, there's only one thing to do about anything, and that's the right thing. Lose your job. Do right. Don't lose your conscience. What are you going to do in this student body today when a brother or a sister or a friend has lied, has cheated, has stolen, has done wrong, and threatens you if you tell? What are you going to do? Cowardice, when engaged in, just shows that you fear man more than God. And the Bible says the fear of man brings a snare. If you fear man more than God, what you're really saying is, I can't trust God to take care of me. I can't do right because it might have some damaging consequences to me. Well, be damaged. Take the damage. But keep the approval of God because you did right. The Iceman cometh your way. Mr. Coward Ice. He may come in the form of intimidation. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, make us strong. We are weak, but Thou art strong. Self-preservation, keeping quiet when we should speak up. Cowering in the face of intimidation. It's our nature, Lord. You know that. You understand. We're made of dust. So, Lord, we don't have this strength in ourselves that we need. But we put our trust in Thee. Thou art our strong tower. And we, the righteous, run into it, and we're safe. So today, Lord, be our strength in our time of weakness. In Jesus' name, amen.
My heart is heavy laden, Lord. My flesh is worn and weak. My precious words of rest and peace, I long to hear Thee speak. So mid the flashing noise of strife and struggle
You just heard a recent message by the Chancellor of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones III. If today's message was a blessing to you, we'd like to hear from you. And when you call, ask us about free helpful resources available from Bob Jones University. Simply call us toll-free at 1-866-BJ-RADIO. Again, that number is 1-866-BJ-RADIO. Or you can write us at Chapel Echoes, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. It would be a great encouragement to us to know that you're listening. Again, that address is Chapel Echoes, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. This is Dave Yerrick for Bob Jones University, encouraging you to join us next time and reminding you to set your affections on things which are above and not on things of the earth. Chapel Echoes is an outreach ministry of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.